Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Teach Gym Show, the place to teach, to learn, to grow. Today's show is brought to you by
ClickAndRetire.com, where Teach Gym and a host of others help teachers and professionals implement their click and retire stratagem. ClickAndRetire.com.
Hi, Teach Gym here. I teach and I learn, and I bet you are too. You're out there learning. This is a great time of year, you think about it. Each of us are looking towards the new year. We've got things rolling, and some of us are starting to find out that things are taking longer than they might normally take. And in fact, there's one of the rules of project management, and that is things take longer than they do. Well, that may not apply to you, but it just might. And so I'm actually in the closing up a project with a group, and as we're coming to the end of it, asked for a couple of moments of reflection as we look at the project and go back and see, hey, what it is that might have caused us some grief? What are some of the pain points that we faced, as well as maybe some of the causes of the project creep just a little bit? And as we looked at it, you know, there were painful moments, as there are in every project, when things got a little sticky. They weren't going quite as smooth as we would have hoped. The cohesiveness of the team was there, the strength of the team, the different talents and abilities of each individual were strong, and so it was really a nice place to be. And yet, upon reflection, realize that maybe, just maybe, some of the choices that I made or some of the choices that you made might have caused the project to go a little longer. And so as we reflected upon that, it was kind of interesting to see just what those were. So how does it go? Well, as we had the meeting, we pulled together, we sat around the table, and we took a look back. We said, okay, what are the things that we gained from this? What are the positives? As we went down that list, we see where we hit a home run, we knocked it out of the park, we did a couple of things that hadn't been done. There was innovation and creativity, and each of those pieces and elements were strong and a beautiful place to be. And then yet, because of some of the innovation, because of some of the creativity, we got into some, you know, some people might say you're out in the roots a little bit, you're out in the grass, your feet are out there off the beaten path, you're off the trail. And so there was a little bit of wandering, and sometimes the grass got a little thick, and so as a result, it didn't go quite as smooth a sailing as it might have otherwise. And so we looked at that, and as we pulled those moments up, and we got the magnifying glass and dug into those, and kind of were pretty frank about where each of us was in our perceptions at that moment. The core causes of some of the creep began to come into play. Some of it was early on, little warning signals that were heading off into the rough were ignored, or if not ignored, at least not acknowledged or recognized or expressed. Now, that said, there were often conversations throughout the whole course of the project about this is a risk. This is a potential risk, and here are some ways we can mitigate that, or here are some ways we can do a workaround if it doesn't work, right? So we had some of those kinds of conversations. So in the middle of the battle, we're feeling like we're right on it. But looking back now, realize that some of those warning signals probably should have been raised a little louder, a little more completely in the midst of the battle. And to a person, each one of the players involved said, yeah, and I should have seen it here, and I probably should have called it out there, because it was obvious to more than one person on the team that there was some vulnerabilities here, and yet the acknowledgement of them wasn't put in the best light, if you will, and identified and flagged and watched more carefully with quicker and closer check-ins. With maybe some estimates about some very specific tasks and time frames for those. And then, you know, when those reported back as inconsistent with the time suggested they would be, that then we started to see, well, there's a source of creep. And because of that creep, then we could identify other items further down the project that would indeed be impacted by the creep. And so when we're doing a looking back and lessons learned, not looking at it for the negative necessarily, but looking at it through the realities of where we landed when it was over to identify core causes for the trajectory that was changed. The trajectory of a project, of course, has to do with where it's at any moment and where it's going to go in the next step. And those trajectories are changed by little things. They're not big, just little things. Incomfortability between a player or two. Somebody not performing quite at the level expected, and then as that fell apart or falls apart, then we start to see that, well, maybe there's a gap here. Now the load is going to be carried by different people, and different people's skills will come into play. And maybe they're not the strongest at this, that, or the other. And as a result, are they the ones to carry that task, or should it be to somebody else and have them take a part? So part of what we found in our discussion was to see that there was a time and place for just a slight possibility of a divide and conquer. You've got these strengths. Take those, run with them. You've got those strengths. Take those and run with those. Instead of both of the players, you know, each taking a portion of both the things, some they're strong with and some they're weak with. And yet that's kind of how the project had been divvied out. So adjustability in terms of workflow and workloads and tasks performed is one of the areas we identified as possibly a core cause of creep that could have been reorganized and restructured and re-engineered, if you will, a little bit in the process of the project going forward. Another interesting core cause of creep that was identified as our discussion went forward was the idea that maybe as we go about a task in step one of the project and trying to push it to completion, yet not having a step five planned out, engineered, kind of designing as you go for step five. We knew where the blocks were, what the big chunks are, but maybe pushing, how do I say it? There's kind of a sliding wave in the project that went through steps one, two, three, and yet step four, five, and six were on paper, but they weren't kind of rising to a level of production work or design work. And as a result, as five, six, and seven started to rise in the effort and energy being put towards them, steps one, two, and three were impacted because of the changing thought. We now look down the road and we understand more about the scope of the project, the type of work that's got to be done, some of the threads that need to be carried out across the whole project in steps five and six are surfacing now because they're finally getting looked at with some level of focus. Rework then goes back and is taken care of now because one, two, and three are out of line with what's been learned by the time you're getting to four, five, and six. And then as we get to the very end, we've seen some variances in the standards that were set early on that slowly crept their way into being individualized or personalized or changing of different elements. So now the message isn't quite as clean and tight. So again, a cleanup now across the board, making sure all the elements and pieces are congruent. So how do we resolve that kind of a creep caused by this focus on just small, several items at a time in detail? Well, what if, and this is hypothetical, it was one of the solutions we possibly came to in today's discussion, was what if we pushed on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the items in the project, to a level of focus that allows us to project the elements and where they'll be and where they're sitting. So that's kind of where that sits and what we were doing there, how that works out. So pretty much fun for ourselves. So at this point, that's kind of where this has got to be landing, and so we go from there. So with that, this project then started to be seen through a different set of eyes. If in the initial planning the big rocks had been put in place, and they were, we knew what steps 1 through 10 were, but then the next grain size rocks, you know, not the big rocks but the chunky rocks, and what some of those are going to look like could have been dispersed across the whole project. And as it was, then we would know better from the dependencies, some of the pieces that we carry throughout, that those needed to be in place. And as a result of that, when you got to the end of the day on it, it had to be in line with the pieces they go. Instead of waiting till step 6, 7, 8 to put those bigger chunks in, which now impact the chunks you had in and the sands and the fine-grained stuff you'd put in to 1, 2, and 3, thinking they were finished. Now you're pulling rocks out, trying to put them back in. You're juggling some pieces. You know, different kinds of projects, let me just put it this way, different kinds of projects really do vary to the type and the source and the kind of work that's done on them. And as a result, some projects are going to be, you're going to post up step one of building a house, prime example. Foundation goes down. You can't change the foundation. The house isn't going to change when you put the foundation. Now, if you decide to put a new room on and extend it out, yeah, you can put another foundation out and kind of expand on that. But to go back and change, well, no, the foundation needs to be this color to tie in with the siding. You're going to have to paint it, right? You're not going to have that built into the foundation color itself. Bad example, sorry. But you understand what we're talking here. Some projects lend themselves to step one's got to be 100%. Step two's got to be 100%. Step three's got to be 100%. In this case, because it was an instructional design project we were on, the course and the feel of the course is going to be impacted for the learner by their experience on each of the lessons and each of the modules as they went through the course. And so certain elements, attitudes, and tone and flavor and theme had to be cohesive across the board. Also, in the timing of the project, if there's a more time up front and you're spending little less restrictive planning or time constraints on lessons 1, 2, 3, 4, they may explode into full-blown lessons that have high detail, high quality in the learning elements that are being developed, in this case, e-learning modules or videos or some of these kinds of things that are polished to a high level of professionalism. Meanwhile, in the end, if those haven't been mapped out across the entire course structure, at the end, there's a risk that because of time constraints or budget constraints or some other means, the quality of the videos aren't there or the depth of the knowledge isn't there or the depth of the trainings aren't there in terms of web-based trainings or e-learning modules and components. So knowing up front which modules are going to have which pieces in them to a level of detail that allows you to know how to build around those allows for quality. It allows for keeping and turning down the potential for creep. It allows the flow to go forward. So, again, the proposal here is that before you hit stakeholder engagement and review or subject matter expert and deep qualifications and seeing if you're really hitting the mark, going through 1, 2, maybe even 3 iterations of the entire course with the treatment, the flow, the patterns, the disruptors, the in-depth and kinds of activities that are going to happen across the board now allow us to see basically in some organizations they call them tent poling, where you know this tent pole to this pole are the standards that are going to hold up this course. And then from those, we know we have supporting elements, each of those tent poles, which are going to be in a pattern. And some of it will maintain a tight pattern all the way through. So people taking the course recognize the pattern. Boom, we have this. Then we have that. Then we have that. Then we have that. So that's kind of the way an e-learning course or a not e-learning course, but an e-learning module could be developed or a course of any type could be developed out. And so several iterations through, fleshing out the big rocks, chunks, and then some of the fine-grained stuff. Now you're ready to go deep on each of the fine-grained pieces and have a project that works that way. So, again, how do you get to the core causes? Dig in. Sensitivities. How do you get them in the process? That's the trick, isn't it? You've got to be there with those early on in the process and nip them in the bud as we start to see any deviation off the primary path before you get into the weeds too far, right? So, hey, this is Teach Jim. I hope you have the best of a great day. I wish you the best of success. And whatever you do, don't think about elephants, educators, or entrepreneurs, because you might find yourself wanting to stay out of the deep grass and getting to the core causes of creep. Wish you the best. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed the Teach Jim Show, the place to teach, to learn, to grow.